It doesn't matter why I was there, where the air is sterile and the sheets sting. It doesn't matter that I was hooked up to this thing that buzzed and beeped every time my heart leaped, like a man whose faith tells him God's hands are big enough to catch an airplane. Or a world. It doesn't matter that I was curled up like a fist protesting death, or that every breath was either hard labor or hard time, or that I'm either always too hot or too cold. Doesn't matter. Because my hospital roommate wears Star Wars pajamas, and he's 9 years old. His name is Louis, and I don't have to ask what he's got. The bald head with the skin and bones frame speaks volumes. The Game Boy and the feather pillow booms like they're trying to make him feel at home. Because he's going to be here a while. I manage a smile the first time I see him, and it feels like the biggest lie I have ever told. So I hold my breath, cause I'm thinking any minute now he's going to call me on it. I hold my breath cause I'm scared of a 57-pound boy hooked up to a machine, because he's been watching me, and maybe I've got him pegged all wrong, like maybe he's bionic or some shit. So I look away, like I just made eye contact with a gang member who's got a rap sheet the length of a lecture on dumb mistakes politicians have made. I look away like he's going to give me my life back the moment I got something to trade. I damn near pull out my pack and say, "Cigarette?" But my fear subsides in the moment I realize Louis is all show and tell. He's got everything from a shotgun shell to a crow's foot, and he can put them all into context. Like, "See, this is from a shooting range," and "See, this is from a weird girl." I watch his hands curl around a cufflink and a tie tack and realize every knick-knack is a treasure, and every treasure has a story, and every time I think I can't handle more, he hits me with another story. He says, "See, this is from my father. See, this is from my brother. See, this is from that weird girl. See, this is from my mother." Took me about 2 days to figure out that weird girl is his sister. It took him about 2 hours today after she left for him to figure out that he missed her. And they visit every day, and stay well past visiting hours, because for them, that term doesn't apply. But when they do leave, Louis and I are left all alone, and he says, "The worst part about being sick is that you get all the free ice cream you ask for." And he says, "The worst part about that is realizing there's nothing more they can do for you." He says, "Ice cream can't make everything okay." And there is no easy way of asking, and I know what he's going to say, but maybe he just needs to say it, so I ask him anyway. "Are you scared?" Louis doesn't even lower his voice when he says, "Fuck yeah." I listened to a 9-year-old boy say the word fuck like he was a 30-year-old man with a nosebleed being lowered into a shark tank. He's got a right to it. And if it takes this kid a curse word to help him get through it, then I want to teach him to swear like the devil sitting there taking notes with a pen and a pad. But before I can forget that Louis is 9 years old, he says, "Please don't tell my dad." He asks me if I believe in angels. And before I realize I don't have the heart to tell him, I tell him, "Not lately." And I just lay there waiting for him to hate me. But he doesn't know how to, so he never does. Louis loves like a man who lived in time before God gave religion to men and left it to them to figure out what hate was. He never greets me with silence, only smiles and a patience I've never seen in someone who knows they're dying. And I try so hard not to remind him I'll be out of here in a couple of days, smoking cigarettes and taking my life for granted. And he'll still be planted in this bed like a flower that refuses to grow. I've been with him for 5 days, and all I really know is that Louis loves to pull feathers out of his pillow and watch them float to the ground, almost as if he's the philosopher inside of the scientist ready to say, "It's gravity that's been getting us down." The truth is, there's not enough miracles to go around, kid, and there's not too many people petitioning God for the winning lotto ticket. And for every answered prayer, there's a cricket with arthritis. And the only reason we can't find answers is because the search party didn't invite us. And Louis, right now the crickets have arthritis, so there is no music, no symphony of nature swelling to crescendos, as if ripping halos into melodies that can keep a rhythm with the way our hearts beat. So we must meet silence with the same level of noise that the parents of dying 9-year-old boys make when they take liberties in talking with heaven. We must shout until we shatter in our own vibrations, then let our lives echo and grow, grow distant. Grow distant enough to know that that as far as our efforts go, we don't always get a reply. But I swear to whatever God I can find in the time I have left, I'm going to remember you, kid. I'm going to tell your story as often as every story you told me, and every time I tell it, I'll say, see, there's bravery in this world. There's 6.5 billion people curled up like fists protecting death. But every breath we breathe has to be given back. A 9-year-old boy taught me that, so hold your breath, the same way you'd hold a pen when writing thank you letters on your skin to every tree that gave you that breath to hold, and then let it go, as if you understand something about getting old and having to give back. Let it go like a laugh attack in the middle of really good sex. The black eye will be worth it, because what is your night worth without the story to tell? And why wield a word like worth if you've nothing to sell? People drop pennies down a wishing well, so the cost of desire is equal to that of thought. But if you've got expectations, expect others have bought your exact same dream for the price of a hard work, hang in, hold on, mentality, like I accept any challenge, so challenge me, like I bought a knife to this gunfight. But the other night, I mugged a mountain, so bring that shit, I've had practice. Louis and I cracked this world wide open and found that the prize inside is we never lied to ourselves, never told ourselves we'd be easy or undemanding. So we sing in our own vibration and dare angels to eavesdrop and stop mid-flight to pluck feathers from their wings and write demands that God's hands take the time to catch you. So even if God doesn't, it wasn't because we didn't try. I don't often believe in angels, but on the day I left, Louis pulled a feather from his pillow and said, "This is for you." I half expected him to say, "See, this is the first one I grew."